Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just shut your eyes and we're going to pray. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I bow my knees before you, the God in heaven, the Father of all, the one that every family on earth who doesn't even realize they're in a family is fathered by. Lord God, we honor you. We recognize your love, your goodness, your blessing. Father, have your way in each one of our hearts and lives today. Just put your hand on your heart. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would touch every heart and every life through your word today. Do something new. Do something in each one of us that we may arise from this place and leave with freshness, empowered by your Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Praise God. Please take your seat. Hallelujah. God is so good. You know, I encourage you, as 2015 draws near, don't wait till 2015 to do the mandate of 2015. Amen. Just constantly be seeking opportunities to share love with someone, to be reaching out to someone. Amen. There's always somebody that we can reach out to. You know, sometimes all we need to do to literally transform a life is say, would you like to come to church with me? You know, sometimes that's all we need to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and we're going to read from verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, he being Jesus, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part. You know, here we see Martha praying. You know, here she has Jesus in front of her, but when you make a request of Jesus, we call that prayer. Yes? So it was Martha praying. And Martha's prayer to Jesus was this. She said, Lord, this is verse 40. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Lord, do you not care about the bill that just landed on my doorstep? Lord, do you not care what my husband's just done to me? Lord, do you not care about the workload that's just piling up? Lord, do you not care about what's going on in my home country? Lord, do you not care? Therefore, aren't we great at telling God what to do? Yes. Do you know, I sometimes notice it, and I'm becoming more and more self-aware. Say, well done. It's been a long journey. But you know, every now and then I stop and notice myself. You see, I'm married to the head of my home. You know, and he's a pretty wise man. You know, but I notice some of the times when I think he really needs to be told the right way to go about things, you know? And I'm like, and then I suddenly hear myself and think, remember, you're the neck. You know, necks have a great role in life. But you see, here was Martha telling God what to do. Are you hearing me? God, tell my sister to help me. God, will you fire my boss? and send me a nice one. God, will you shift the neighbours out of the house next door? They make too much noise. God, will you stop that sister from being so annoying around me? Are you hearing me? You see, Martha's problem was not, and please hear me on this, having too much to do. Turn to your neighbour and say, Martha did not have too much to do. Can I tell you something? Your problem isn't that you've got too much to do. Right now, just stop and say to yourself, I don't have too much to do. Martha's problem was summed up by Jesus. You see, Martha prays and tells God, you're not noticing what's going on in my life. Has anyone ever prayed like that? God, have you not seen? I haven't got my papers, so I can't get a job. And he's like, I'm God, and I've noticed. And they're just sitting on the Home Office desk. And Lord, have you not noticed? Can you not hurry? You see, we say stuff in prayer, but it's not really what prayer was intended for prayer to be. Are you hearing me? We're going somewhere today. And I believe that God is going to give every one of us keys. Say keys. Keys that we can leave with, that will bring a transformation in how we live our lives. Martha's problem was not that she had too much to do. Martha's problem is summed up by Jesus. You know, wouldn't it be better if we go to God and say, Lord, this is really hard. My life is really difficult. What's the problem, Lord? What's the problem, Lord? Rather than firing God with this list, this string of problems that he already knows about, which aren't normally the real issue. And so Jesus turned to Martha and he said this. He said, Martha, in verse 41, you are worried and troubled about many things. Your problem isn't the amount you've got to do. Your problem is your mental attitude towards what you've got to do. Are you hearing me? This is so important. This is such a key in life. Let me read a couple of translations. NASB says, Martha, you are worried and bothered. Ha. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't get bothered. Bothered. When something bothers you. Are you bothered by anything right now? In the NIV, it says, Martha, you're worried and upset. Upset is different to sad. Upset is when, you know, the issues are now making us feel so bothered that we feel emotional about it. Are you hearing me? Martha's problem was not that she had too much to do. It was her mental attitude to what she had to do. Let me tell you what I believe Martha was. Stressed. And you know the title of my message this morning? Do you know, I got so excited about the title. I was like, I must be a serious little child. Because I got really excited about the title. I'm like, God, this is a great title. So I hope you think it's great. But the title of my message this morning is Stress Busters. You see, if you're not as old as I am, then you won't know why that made me laugh. But how many of you remember Ghostbusters? Who do you call? Ghostbusters. But you see, this morning I believe that what God wants to put into every single one of our hands. Do you remember they had a machine, those Ghostbusters? If you don't remember, let me tell you. I don't even know how old I am anymore. Ronke always corrects me because I always say I'm 45 years old. And she one day sat there in a meeting. She looked at me. She went, you're not. I'm saying, I'm 45 years of age. She looked back and she went, you're not. It's great having people around who tell the truth. I said, I'm 45. She said, you're not, you're 46. I went, you're kidding. She said, you're 46. Okay, so I don't know if I'm still 46. I may have had a birthday since then, but who knows? But you see, the Ghostbusters, this was this team of people that would go into a house where there was, you know, it was a funny, you know, childish little movie that was a huge hit about 25 years ago. Longer? More, okay. A little while back. And they had these big machines that they used to hold, and they would splurge ghosts. So they'd squirt this stuff at ghosts, and then the ghosts would get splurged. So God's going to give us a stress-busting machine. How many of you want a stress-busting machine? Hallelujah! You see, stress is not God's plan for your life. But let me tell you, it is the devil's plan for you. And you know, there are certain things that we somehow tolerate. You know, because stress is something that high flyers get, isn't it? Yeah. You know, if you're a real high flyer, then your blood pressure goes up and you're all stressed and that makes you really important. Weird, isn't it? You know, we must not tolerate stress. Stress is not your portion and it's not my portion. You know, and I believe the time when God taught me really how to squeeze stress out of my life was a period when I was working in the city, and I used to leave the house most days at 7 a.m. I got back most days at 7 p.m. I was married with children and what I would back then have still called full-time ministry. And so my life was full, say full. And it was in that place that God really started to train me and teach me how to bust stress. Because if you tolerate stress in your life, we're going to look at some of the things that will happen. But it's not a good thing. Not good at all. I remember this little story that a really dear friend of mine used to tell. She had a period working with old people in this little old people's home. And she was sitting with this really sweet elderly lady that was in her mid-80s. And she'd brought the lady a glass of milk. And the glass of milk was sitting in front of her on the tray. And beside it, there was the sugar bowl. And the little old lady, she said, I've brought you some milk. And then she sat down beside her, and the little old lady picked up the sugar bowl, went straight in her mouth, and then looked up at Claire with literally a beard of sugar and went, not nice. So sweet. But let me tell you, stress is not nice. I used to get Claire and say, tell me the story. About that sweet little lady. But we've got to realize there are certain things that we must not tolerate. And stress is one of them. Let me tell you the first thing about stress. Stress is a choice. Right. Say it after me. Stress is a choice. You see, the issue with having a lot to do is our mental attitude, our response to the things that we've got to do. Let me tell you what the word stress means. It doesn't appear in the Bible anywhere. I mean, maybe in some of the really, really modern translations, but it doesn't appear in more classic translations anywhere. But it means pressure. Say pressure. Strain, struggle, burden, pull, load, anxiety. Is anyone relating to any of those words? That is what stress is. And let me tell you what stress does. And this is really important that we recognize what stress can do in our lives. You see, it says in verse 39 of that story that Martha was distracted. I'll never forget when God changed my understanding of distraction. And when he revealed to me, and I want you to hear this, there was a period several years ago when our daughter, Abby, who many of you know, was in and out of hospital. And there was one particular problem that she had that the hospital just could not get under control. And so what would happen, and those that were close to me at the time will remember, you know, we would go for an appointment at Great Ormond Street Hospital, and we'd arrive in the outpatients, and again, week after week after week, we'd go to the outpatients, they'd look at her, examine her, and say, we just can't let you go home. And she'd be admitted. We'd stay in hospital in this really foul ward, and it was one where they were using temporarily while they were refurbishing. And it was so dark, and the only way I could see daylight is if I craned looking out the window up as high as I could. I could sometimes spot about a square centimeter of light to try and work out whether it was a nice day or not. You know, and I'd be in there with her day in, day out, and the appointment would be coming, and I'd be thinking, gosh, what are they going to say? What are they going to say? She was in almost constant pain. She had a consultant dedicated to her just for her pain. And, you know, I would be in, out, and I was just getting stressed. And I remember the day when God said to me, Joe, your daughter is supposed to be a blessing, not a distraction. Are you hearing me? I mean, how could anyone suggest that my daughter's become a distraction? She's my daughter. But you see, the moment anything in our lives starts to bother and trouble us, starts to worry us and upset us, it will distract us from what we're supposed to be doing. Right. Are you hearing me? If there's something in your life that's growing and magnifying in terms of your concern about it, let me tell you, the chances are that you've started to become distracted from what you're supposed to be doing. You see, the enemy always uses subtleties to try and trip us up. What else? The Bible says, you all know the story of the sower. It says that cares choke out the word. They choke out the word. So when something starts to worry and trouble you, you end up, you just suffocate the very word in you that should be bringing salvation into that situation. Are you hearing me? I love this. In Job 20, verse 2, it says, my anxious thoughts make me answer. So what happens is all that trouble and stress and pressure chokes out the word. And instead, we're answering to the troubles in our mind. Anxiety comes up, and so what's coming out of our mouth is a response to the trouble. So out of our mouth comes us in some sort of dialogue with stress rather than the word coming out in season just when we need it. Are you hearing me? It's our attitude. Say attitude. Our mental attitude to difficulties that produces the emotional state on the inside of us. What else? Job 20, verse 20 says, he knows no quietness of heart. When you're troubled, churns round, it's bothering you. It's almost like a torment, isn't it? Just that issue keeps coming up in your mind. You keep thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it. Too much. And the reason it's a real problem as well is because the Bible says in Isaiah 30, verse 15, in quietness and confidence is your strength. So how can you be strong exactly when you need it? We need to be strong when times are difficult. When you're in the midst of pressure and tough times, that's when you and I need to be able to be strong. But if all our thoughts are disquieting us, then we're not going to be able to be drawing on the very strength we need in order to endure through the battle. Are you hearing me? Yes. Hallelujah. It says in Proverbs 12, verse 29, it says, worry weighs a person down. And you know, for some people, the outcome of stress is you're just overly anxious, you're bothered. Maybe if it's got really bad, it's affecting your sleep. You wake up in the night and that thought comes to you again. You find it difficult to get to sleep. You know, maybe it's just, you know, it's constantly going around your mind. If you're someone who prays a lot, you probably pray about that issue more than you should be. Amen. You know, far more important to pray about the state of our hearts than a list of meet my needs, Lord. Are you hearing me? But for others, stress produces an almost depression-like state where you get weighed down and it gets on top of you. Whether it's financial pressures, whether it's family pressures, whatever it is, you know, work, it can end up just weighing you down to such an extent that there's a sadness on the inside, rather than the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Are you seeing what the enemy's trying to do? He's trying to use all which way to wear you down, to get you all troubled and bothered, so that the word becomes ineffective on the inside of you. You can come to church, hear a great message, and within 10 minutes of leaving this building, the message is gone, because instead you've been answering to the worry that has been coming up out of your heart and mouth. You see, we need to make the word effective by watching over our mental attitude. You know, one of the things I did, and you may have heard me share this before, but I remember around that same time, when I was in full-time work, full-time ministry, full-time wife, full-time mother, so four lives being lived by one woman. Well, that's how it felt. And I remember what the Lord challenged me. And he banned me. Say banned. He banned me from using two words in my vocabulary. You know, before I share the two words, let me tell you, a lot of people come to me and they say, Pastor Joe, where do you get all your energy from? How many of you have noticed a lot of energy? Yeah. Now, I know that that is a divine resource from heaven to enable me to do what he's called me to do. But it's not just that. Say, not just. Everything that we develop in our lives is a partnership between heaven and earth. Are you hearing me? What you need will be released into your life through a partnership between heaven and earth. And God banned me from saying two words. One was busy, and the other was tired. Do you know how long I went without those words leaving my lips? It must have been about 3 years. Say years. Now, that went from me saying, I'm tired, I'm too busy, I've got too much on, not just daily. I mean, I used to say, I'm tired, I'm just so tired, I'm so tired, I'm tired. I'd get home, I'm tired. How was your day? Great, but I'm tired. Go to bed, I'm tired. I'd wake up in the morning, I'm tired, Lord. And God was thinking, will she shut up? Because the Bible says that the power of death and life has been entrusted into our tongues. Are you hearing me? The power of breathing life into your life has been given to you by God, by that thing in your mouth that waggles. For 3 years, it was about that length of time, I did not say I'm busy. I even refused for a long time to say my life was full. But eventually I developed ways of being able to communicate with my nearest and dearest, where I would say things like, you know, well, you know, there's a lot on, but it's all good. But I didn't even go there for a while. And I never said I'm tired. You know, the Bible says, let the weak say. And then we sing a song going, let the weak say, I am strong. Let me tell you what the song should say. I am strong. I am strong. Are you hearing me? If you're in the house today, or if you're listening to this message, your your time now is to start confessing. I'm strong. I'm full of energy. I've got enough. This is a good one. I've got enough time in the day to get everything I need to do done. Do you know, ladies, just for a moment, men, this is for ladies. You see, I think sometimes ladies, we do think we've got a bit more to do than men. How many ladies you believe you have more to do than men? Put up your hand, wave at me if you really believe that. See, in the old-fashioned days, the women stayed at home and did the housework. And in 21st century Britain, they do the housework and they go out and earn a living. And, you know, sort of, it's multitasking, isn't it? But let me tell you, there was a certain woman way back in the day, not my husband's view of back in the day. It's so funny, when my children talk to my husband, they just think he's hilarious because he'll say to them, oh, look at this, this is so cool. And Benj will go, raise an eyebrow. Because my husband, he just can't get his head around the fact that he might not be the hippest, coolest man on earth. He's not here, so I can say it all. And so he'll be with my son and say, look at this. And Benj will go, not sure, Daddy. And you'll say, but Benj, back in the day. And Abby will go, Daddy, there's not only one day, you know. Because he seems to think his day was the day. But anyway, back in the day, there was this woman. Do you know, she got up in the morning before the sun was up. She would be up preparing food, making sure everyone that lived in her house, and she had a full house full of people, always guests staying, always people she's looking after. She'd feed them all. She'd sew their clothes. Are you impressed? She'd go out and do a full-time job. She had her own business. Read about her in Proverbs 31. Listen, ladies, you and I, we have an anointing from heaven to multitask. So don't say I've got too much on. Say God puts Proverbs 31 woman in the Bible to encourage me. She's not superwoman, Proverbs 31. She is just woman. Hallelujah. You know, the other day I was in Pret with Paolo, and we were having a romantic lunch in Pret. I remember the time when I got a promotion and he said, oh, Joe, I want to really bless you to a 3-course meal. I said, wow, that sounds lovely. And he said, we're going to, I've forgotten what it's called now, Subway. He said, we'll get our baguette, our crisps, and a cookie for afterwards. 3-course meal. Anyway, we were having a romantic lunch in Pret. And I was, in Pret, they've got like just toilet cubicles. It's not men or women. And so there's two separate cubicles. And I was standing in the, I went out, and there were two men standing there. And they went, oh, there's a queue. And I just turned back and I said, welcome to our world. Women always have to queue for the loo, but that's nothing to do with my message. But you see, it's our mental response to these things. So God said to me, don't let your daughter be a distraction. She's a blessing. And so I laid down the cares of her health. I laid down all the angst about having to watch her in pain, not just on a daily basis, but sometimes a minute-by-minute basis. Rora knows what it was like. There was times she would just scream and scream and scream and scream and scream. But I said, Lord, I'm going to bless you anyway. Bless the Lord at
all times.
Even those ones. Bless the Lord at all times. You see, what God will do in those times is he will teach you how to not allow anything in your life to be a distraction so that you can be the solution. Say, I am part of the solution. You see, so much of what comes out of our mouth is the problem. I want to challenge you today. Yes, you need to do what you're called to do and nothing else. But I want to challenge you today not to allow the words, I've got too much to do. to come out of your mouth anymore. Because if you've got too much to do, then either God's a very cruel God, or you're doing things you shouldn't be doing. In which case, stop doing what you shouldn't be doing. And if you're doing what you should be doing, let me tell you, welcome to the world of stretch. Stretch. You know, you only increase your capacity by being stretched. What does the Bible say in Isaiah? Stretch. Stretch. You know, we don't increase our capacity. We don't grow. We don't multiply without being stretched. And if you're being stretched, let me tell you, your heart and your emotions need your tongue to actually lend a hand. Amen. Right now, say to your tongue, tongue, lend a hand. Do you hear? You see, if you let your tongue help you, you're going to get through the stretch much more quickly. Hallelujah. So what do we do? I've already mentioned words. You know the words that are the triggers for you. What is the overwhelming feeling that you feel? Do you feel frustrated? I'm so frustrated. I've been waiting, I've been trying, I've been pressing every door. I'm frustrated. What is the word with you? Ban it. Let your tongue be on your side rather than on the devil's side. Let your tongue work for you. You know, in James, in the book of James, it says, and I believe that the translators did us a misservice or a disservice by the way they translated this word. They says, he who can tame his tongue, and it says, is a perfect man. Let me tell you why I believe they've done a disservice. Do you know what that word actually means? If you go into the Greek, it means mature, complete. So in other words, he who tames his tongue is actually mature. How many people want to be mature in the house? You want to grow up in the things of God. Tame your tongue. Let it be something that works for you and not against you. Hallelujah. Now I want you to turn with me to John 14 and verse 1. John 14 and verse 1. It says, do not let. This word means allow or permit. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Are you hearing that? So whenever the enemy tries to bring anxiety, worries, let me tell you one time recently. It's a long time since I felt cares weighing on top of me. And I'll tell you why that is. Because I got so well rehearsed at casting them that I got to the point where they wouldn't even come in the first place. I think it became a waste of the devil's time. Let's kind of make the enemy redundant in our lives, where it's a waste of his time. He might as well concentrate on someone else. But then a little while back, I got this email. And I remember exactly where I was sitting in our lounge. And I opened up my laptop and I got this email from my new publisher. And it was a questionnaire that they wanted me to fill in. It was for their media department. And it was to enable them to start planning the media launch of my book, 30-Day Detox for Your Soul. So I open this and I start to read the question. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I shut the laptop. I mean, you know when you're like, you laptop, you are getting out of this place. And I slammed down the lid and went, whoo. Because all these questions about TV and I'm like, oh my goodness. Oh no, I hadn't been thinking about that. Just thinking about the book getting out. No TV involved. Whoo. You understand? Like, this is little me. So I slammed shut the computer. Went into total denial. Anyone else ever done that? I didn't get that email. Oh, no. What email? But I always respond quickly to things. So it's niggling, the email. Every time I think of it, start churning. And I thought, I'm going to have to deal with this. So it took 24 hours. Naughty. But I eventually went back to that computer. I said, do you know what, computer? I'm taking you on. Out you come. We're doing this. And I looked those questions in the eyes and I said, TV, I'm coming for you. Radio, I'm coming for you. Jesus is going to be glorified. Do you see, we have a choice. Do you know one of the things the Lord showed me? God says, put on the whole armor of God. The devil wants you to put on his whole armor. Did you know he has whole armor? You know, the Bible talks about the sword, the spirit, which will pierce. The sword, the Bible says in Proverbs, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. The devil's sword is the cruel words of others. But you know the shield of faith? You know what the devil wants you to keep up? The shield of denial. Oh, it's all well. I'm fine. Put on that lovely face. Heart just troubled on the inside. Denial is the devil's armor. It keeps the wrong stuff away. The shield of faith keeps bad stuff away. The shield of denial keeps the truth away. Think about that. I don't want to be somebody who puts on in a morning the full armor of the enemy. One time I'll share a whole message on that. God showed me all the different aspects of the army of the enemy. And you know why we need to know it? Because we need to make sure that we're not wearing it. So the Bible says, do not allow or permit your heart to be troubled. If we blame our circumstances, denial. If we blame our circumstances on our stress, we will miss a massive opportunity to break through. Amen. Are you hearing me? If you say, well, it's just, I've got too much on, I've got too much to do, I've got a family of 16, I've got 17 children, I've got to feed the entire village, I can't do it all, I've got 60,000 bills all landed on my doorstep this morning, so of course I'm stressed. God's just going to sit in heaven and go, oh dear, well, I can't help then. Because he's given us his help. Do not allow your hearts to be troubled. I want to look at some scriptures and we're going to give some practical tools before we finish. If we can have 1 Peter 5:7 in the Amplified, please, Gifty, in the Amplified. You see, the first thing that we have to do with any form of care, because whenever stress has got in, the one word that is consistent in every single translation of that passage that I started out with about Martha's condition, the one word that's consistent across every Bible is worry. And if you know, how many of you, you know that one of your defaults, one of the things you have to fight is you easily worry? Wave at me. Can I make a suggestion that you don't allow that word worry out of your mouth? Listen to this in the Amplified. Cast the whole of your... Listen, not just a little bit of it. Amen. We give the bit that we're happy to give. But hold on to the other bit just in case God doesn't come through. Whoops. Casting the whole of your care. All your anxieties. All your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. Why? Because he cares for you affectionately. And listen to that. And he cares about you watchfully. I want him watching over my issues. But while I'm holding on to them, I'm not handing them over to him. When I cast the care, it becomes his problem. When I'm worrying about it, it's my responsibility to fix it. When I let it go, it's his responsibility. I remember recently, you know, we had some challenges that we were having to deal with schoolwork, with our son, where, you know, like, you know, maybe it's a boy thing, maybe it isn't, but just the necessity to get stuff done didn't seem to grip him. You know, he didn't seem to notice that homework had to be done. And I found myself just constantly at him. And then I just picked him up from school one night. He had he was finishing late, he was at a club, and I sat in the car and I said, Benj, do you know what? I love you more than how you do at school. So if you mess it all up, that's your thing. That's between you and God. But as for me, from now on, you know, I might mention the odd thing, but I'm leaving you to just get on with it, because actually my relationship with you is more important. See, I'm more concerned that he worships God with all of his heart at the front of here than he gets an A star. I'm more concerned that he's every Sunday in the house of God on his knees before the Lord saying, your will, not mine, than he's at home slaving away trying to get an extra 1% in an exam. And I said, God, I give his education to you. I hand it over to you, not my thing. Now, yes, what did I do? You know, and he said, all right, mummy, thank you. And then I'm thinking, oh boy, what have I just done? And then I started texting my husband sitting in the sitting room. Ask Benj whether he's... I'm just being real. Paolo texts back and saying, you controlling woman, ask him yourself. I'll text back again. I'm not controlling. I'm just concerned. Cares. So I said to Benj, would you like me to teach you how to do a checklist? Still, that would be great, mummy. I don't know how to do one of those. Now, this guy is mega intelligent, learning three languages, thriving, and he says he doesn't know how to do a checklist. I said, okay, that's fine. Let me do you a checklist. So I've given him a checklist, and I've said, you sort it. You see, we just have to make some choices sometime. Do I want a son who comes out with great education and who resents his mum and dad and therefore he resents Jesus? Or someone that I've created who idolizes education and thinks it's better to stay home and study than to be in the house of God? You know, even when I was backslidden at university, I don't know how God put this in me, but I never ever missed a Sunday going to church, even when I was backslidden. Even when it was my part ones, my part twos, my final everything. I never, ever, ever put God's word underneath academia. And let me tell you, God blessed me. You know, because I went to church even though I was backslidden, I'd get back from a club at a ridiculous hour in the morning and still get up and go to church. I don't know how I managed to do all that. I was just a broken girl. But God honored me honoring him in the midst of my backsliding. Let me tell you, when we hand over our children to Jesus, when we hand over their education and say, God, I'm not going to make it a God. It's a means to an end, that's all. Are you hearing me? A means to an end. You know, one day, let me tell you, I don't write down. You know, when I was reading all these CVs, as I was interviewing, when I was still working in the world in high positions, I wasn't looking at their GCSE results, nor was I looking at their A-level results. Not very often even their degrees. It soon becomes unimportant, and the favor of God is king. Let's say that together. The favor of God. The favor of God is king. Hallelujah. Seek his favor. Hallelujah. Cast it. John 14, verse 27, please. Again, in the Amplified. John 14, verse 27. Hallelujah. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. So again, back to this instruction. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them. Don't let your hearts be afraid. Gifty, Sticky is a wonderful dog. You don't need to be afraid of dogs. Anyone who needs healing from fear of dogs, come and see me and I'll introduce you to a dog that carries a healing anointing. There's at least two people who've been set free from fear of dogs through the words of their mouth and Sticky, our little Labrador. Hallelujah. Neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Hallelujah. You see, we need to choose our attitude. Jesus said that his peace is there. We're going to go into the peace bit a bit more. But we can't really lay hold of his peace until we've chosen our attitude. My peace I give to you, my peace I bequeath to you. He leaves it like in a will. When he died on the cross, he wrote, Abby, I leave my peace to her. Isn't that awesome? He leaves it to us in his will and testament. But in order for us to lay hold of that will, we need to choose. And we choose not to allow the circumstances of life to trouble our hearts. If we can turn to Philippians, again, the Amplified, please. Philippians 4, verse 7. Hallelujah. You know, when we lay hold of the peace of God, we're living in the will of God. Don't forget, peace isn't the absence of chaos. Peace is not the absence of stress or chaos. Peace is a person. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Peace is this force that comes through Jesus, through the Spirit of Jesus, into our lives. I've had people say to me that when they hug me, they feel the peace of God. Just start. And some people say, oh, don't let go yet. Now, it's because a person is being allowed to breathe within me. Because the fact that I've got to be out the door and into a meeting isn't troubling me in that moment when I'm hugging that person. If I was thinking about the next 16 things I had to do, then peace, the person, would be being suffocated on the inside of me. I love this. And God's peace shall be yours. Listen to this. That tranquil state, and I want you to right now use this as a checklist against your own soul. How much of this is your living day-to-day reality? The tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. So fearing nothing from God, being content with its earthly lot, whatever sort that is peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds. That tranquil state of a soul. So often where I'm just so conscious of that tranquil state that is within me, and really I can't differentiate between the peace of God and the presence of God within. Because I shut my eyes and it's like, oh, wow, Lord. And that's God's heart, that we live in that place. That means that when you go into a meeting at work, I would sit in meetings. It's only in the last 2 or 3 years that I haven't been working in, you know, quite pressurizing jobs in the world as well as doing full-time ministry. In fact, it's probably not even that long. I can't remember when I finished my last assignment that I did. I would sense the anointing sitting in a meeting filled with people who didn't know Jesus, and the anointing on me would feel the same as it does when I preach. So of course, wisdom would come from this mouth because Jesus had a chance to speak. Are you hearing me? God's peace wants to enter into your workplace through you. If you've guarded your heart and you've refused to allow it to be, another word, overwhelmed. You see, God wants to take you to the next level. But if you can't handle this level, then he'll patiently wait until you can. Are you hearing me? And then he'll say, wow, they're ready. They're taking this in a stride. And then comes the next stretch. That's the way it works. But the only way it can work is when we have become stress busters. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet, please? Hallelujah. The way the Lord showed me the peace of God. Can I have that scripture back there, Gifty? The way the Lord showed me the peace of God is that literally, if you imagine your heart like a garden, and in that garden, the Lord wants to be able to come, and you can picture that dove, so often used in the Bible as a symbol of the Holy Spirit, finding a restful place to come and be with you in your garden, the garden of your heart. And you see, if we will refuse to allow trouble, stress, and all these things in, then the peace of God becomes like a wall around our garden. Our hearts become like a walled garden where we will not permit anything through into that place of our hearts. Just shut your eyes in the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to invite anyone here, and you have either been contending with stress now, or you know that stress is something that you have contended with often in your life. I just want to invite you to come and kneel at the altar right now. Come as quickly as you can. Just come and kneel at the altar. If stress has been something that you know has been something you've contended with, just come and kneel at the altar. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Or anxiety. I mean, they're all the same root. Just if you come as far forward to make room and the space over on the right and left. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I used to be a stress animal. My husband was an even larger. In fact, he wasn't a stress animal. He was a stress monster. But God truly has done a work in each of us where stress has been squashed out of our lives. It's been defeated in our lives. And I'm going to pray that the same journey that we have come on will be your journey. If you can't kneel, your knees won't let you kneel. You can stand, but if you're able to kneel, then just kneel where you are. Thank you, Jesus. And the reason I'm asking you to kneel is the altar represents an altar of sacrifice. That's why we call it the altar. In the Old Testament, it was where a sacrifice was made. And right now, I'm asking you to sacrifice by giving up in these moments every single care and worry that you have been carrying. While we carry them, we're saying, I'm going to fix it. When we cast it, we're saying, Lord, would you fix it? So right now, I want to encourage you in this place, just as it says in 1 Peter 5 verse 7. And Gifty, you could just put it back up there again. Just keep your eyes shut at the front as you kneel. And right now, just say to the Lord, I cast every care. Say it. I cast every worry. I cast all my concerns. All my concerns about my family. All my worries about my children. All my worries about my future. All my anxieties about finances. Every angst about work. Every angst about my heart. I cast every care unto you, Lord Jesus. I give them to you. I let go. I give them up. I can't handle them, but you can. So I entrust it all into your care. And I will leave them there once and for all. But if ever I slip and find myself worrying, I ask you to remind me, Holy Spirit, to cast my care once again. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, right now, I speak to every person here. And I speak your word and I say to you right now, do not allow your heart to be troubled. And right now, make that decision. Lord, I will not let worry in. I will not allow stress in. I will not allow my mind to go all over the place. And now, Lord God, I declare over each one of these people and everyone in this place, wherever you are, just lift up your hands now. This is a blessing for everyone. Just lift up your hands. And I declare over you, as the words of Jesus, my peace I give to you. My peace I bequeath to you. I give you permanently my peace to reign in your heart and in your mind as a wall against every source of stress. Hallelujah. Let's just give Jesus praise for the peace of God that guards our hearts and our minds. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah.